Every morning at 8:04, Rachel Watson watches other people's lives unfold from her commuter train window. She's created an entire fantasy around the couple at number 15 Blenheim Road. Jason, she calls them, imagining their perfect marriage, their sun-drenched mornings, their tender goodbyes. But four doors down lives Tom, her ex-husband, with his new wife, Anna, and their baby daughter. Rachel rides this train religiously, unemployed but pretending to work, hiding gin bottles in her handbag, constructing elaborate lies about job interviews that don't exist. The train becomes her refuge and torture chamber simultaneously, carrying her past the life she lost and the fantasy she's created to cope with that loss. Then one morning, she witnesses something shocking: Jess kissing a stranger on that perfect deck. Days later, the woman disappears. Rachel's obsession with solving this mystery becomes inseparable from her desperate need to prove she isn't crazy, that her fractured memories and alcohol-soaked blackouts haven't destroyed her grasp on reality entirely. The woman Rachel calls Jess is actually Megan Hipwell, whose pristine life masks devastating trauma. Married to devoted but controlling Scott, Megan suffocates in suburban domesticity, haunted by a secret. As a teenage mother, she accidentally drowned her infant daughter Libby during a bath. This tragedy, following her brother Ben's death, sent 15-year-old Megan spiraling into rebellion and isolation. Years later, Megan's unprocessed grief manifests as fierce resistance to motherhood and compulsive escape. She briefly worked as nanny for Tom and Anna's baby, a position taken partly from curiosity, partly self-torture, but quickly grew to hate it. Seeking help, she begins therapy with Dr. Kamal Abdik, only to develop intense attraction to him. Simultaneously, she conducts a passionate affair with another man, meeting in anonymous hotel rooms while crafting elaborate lies for Scott. Her diary entries reveal profound self-loathing beneath casual rationalizations. On July 13, 2013, she vanishes without a trace. Anna Watson has everything Rachel lost: Tom, the house, the baby Rachel couldn't conceive. Having abandoned her career to become the perfect wife and mother to daughter Evie, she revels in her triumph over Tom's miserable first marriage. Her carefully orchestrated life feels like vindication: breakfast in bed, thoughtful presents, the overwhelming sense that I am so lucky, so blessed, so in love. Yet persistent anxiety lurks beneath this constructed happiness. Rachel's continued presence, drunk calls, unexpected appearances, her visible dissent threatens Anna's security. She obsessively protects her territory, seeking Tom's reassurance multiple times daily. When spotting Rachel outside Scott's house, Anna's jealousy flares, not from concern, but from the threatening possibility that Rachel might find happiness elsewhere, diminishing Anna's victory. Anna's narrative reveals her deliberately shallow understanding of Tom. She systematically dismisses his lies, focusing instead on maintaining her perfect facade. Her willful blindness stems from her investment in being the one he chose. As she eventually admits, I knew about Tom and Megan, I've known for ages. Yet she convinced herself it doesn't matter. Acknowledging truth would destroy not just her marriage, but the identity she's built around it. When Megan Hipwell disappears, Rachel realizes Jess, from her train observations, is missing. Having been in Whitney during a blackout that night, she tells Detective Inspector Gaskell she witnessed Megan kissing a man who wasn't her husband. Despite his skepticism, she contacts Scott Hipwell directly, fabricating a story about knowing Megan through an art gallery. Rachel identifies the man as Kamal Abdik, Megan's therapist. He's arrested, but released when his alibi checks out. Detectives grow frustrated with Rachel's involvement, viewing her as unstable. They confront her about allegedly taking Tom and Anna's baby while intoxicated, an incident Rachel disputes, though her memories remain fragmented. Megan's decomposed body is discovered in Corley Wood, dead approximately 4 weeks and pregnant. Media coverage intensifies, uncovering dark secrets from Megan's past, including her baby daughter's tragic death. Rachel struggles to piece together her memories from that night. Flashbacks of being in the underpass, blood streaming from a head wound, and the troubling certainty that she encountered Tom. Tom Watson emerges as a calculating predator who systematically gaslights everyone around him. Initially presented through Rachel's longing perspective as the perfect husband, he gradually reveals himself as a master manipulator. With Rachel, his deception was comprehensive. When fertility treatments failed, he blamed her entirely. Most devastatingly, he convinced her that during alcoholic blackouts, she became violent, smashing things, attacking him with a golf club, humiliating him publicly. These fabrications justified his affair with Anna while making Rachel doubt her own perceptions. With Anna, he played the victim of Rachel's obsession, using her insecurity to ensure loyalty. When she questioned his absences or suspected his affair with Megan, he deflected with practiced charm, claiming his parents disowned him, inventing army friends, fabricating work emergencies. Megan became another victim. When their affair resulted in pregnancy, Tom coldly told her to have an abortion because she wasn't motherhood material. When she threatened to expose him, he eliminated the problem permanently. The ultimate revelation: it wasn't Rachel who was violent during blackouts. It was Tom who abused her, then convinced her she had done terrible things while drunk. His entire life was constructed on lies. Rachel's breakthrough comes when she encounters Andy, the red-haired man from the train. She learns Tom was driving away with a woman that night, not searching for Rachel, while Anna stayed home. Combined with her recovered memory of Tom attacking her in the underpass, Rachel realizes Tom was with Megan that night, and he killed her. When Rachel approaches Anna, Anna has already discovered Megan's phone among Tom's possessions. Tom returns to find both women together, his deceptions exposed. He confesses to killing Megan when she threatened to reveal their affair and pregnancy. "I picked up a rock. It was just one hit." His confession shifts between remorse and casualness. He kisses Anna and offers Rachel a beer moments after describing how he buried Megan with his bare hands. When Rachel attempts to escape, Tom attacks her, blaming her for everything. The rain-soaked confrontation ends with Rachel driving a corkscrew into Tom's neck as a train passes by. The commuter train that began her involvement now witnesses her survival. Anna corroborates the self-defense claim. Rachel visits Megan's grave, then plans to move north and start anew. The girl on the train reveals how memory shapes reality. Rachel's blackouts enabled Tom's manipulation. Megan's unprocessed trauma fueled her restlessness. Anna's willful blindness let her ignore Tom's lies, constructing a narrative where she triumphed rather than suffered. Memory operates as narrative construction, the stories we tell ourselves to make sense of experience. Rachel's healing begins when she reclaims authority over her own experiences. For years, Tom convinced her she was violent and unstable when he was actually the abuser, gaslighting her into doubting her perceptions. We all watch others through windows, imagining their perfect lives while doubting our own worth. But sometimes the reflection reveals more than the view beyond it. Your memories are yours to interpret. Your story is yours to tell. Don't let anyone convince you that your reality is unreliable because it doesn't serve their narrative. The most dangerous manipulation isn't making you forget. It's making you doubt what you remember. Trust yourself. Question the stories others tell about you. And when you see the truth clearly, drive that metaphorical corkscrew straight into the neck of every lie that's held you captive.